This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وبه نستعين على أمور الدنيا والدين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، وصلى اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى, this is our seventh lesson for season two of the seer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and our 14th lesson overall. And alhamdulillah, we managed to cover quite a bit. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from us and make us among those that act upon and benefit from the story of our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mentioned in the beginning that there are certain objectives you're trying to reach from learning the seerah. It's just not another story. And who can tell me what a major objective is behind learning the life and story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why do we do it, and why is it so important? Yeah, I'm looking at you, akhi. Or anyone else, really. Why is learning the seerah important? Who wants to have a go at it? You know, brothers, the younger ones tend to have a lot more energy. But we all came here to learn. And like I said last week, I'm going to start naming names now. Just learning your names and start calling you out. Yes, you raise your hand first. What's your name? Talha. MashaAllah. You're named after a great companion. Why is it important that we learn the seerah? So that we can be more like the Prophet. That's the perfect answer. So that we can be more like the Prophet. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ Uswatun Hasana. Indeed, within the Prophet lies the best of example. How do we know? How did he handle problems? How did he worship? How did he pray? How did he exhibit patience, etc.? The main thing is that we increase the love of the Prophet in our hearts. Because our iman will not be complete until we love the Prophet more than anyone else on this earth. More than yourself, more than your parents, more than your children. Tayyib. We left the seerah. We were in the 9th year of the hijrah, not afan, of the bi'atha. So it's been 9 years since the beginning of the mission. To summarize, of those 9 years, the first 3 years, the Prophet was calling to Islam in secret. Then he made the call public on the Mount Safa, and that's when his uncle Abu Lahab interjected, and that's when opposition started. And then that continued, and then the struggle for the companion started. You had the hijrah to Abyssinia, which many of the Sahaba did, and some stayed. And there were many events that we covered that happened, including Quraysh trying their best to convince the Prophet to leave off his mission. Sometimes they would entice him with wealth, with riches. Others, they would try to put fear in him. But the Prophet ﷺ would refuse each time, because this was a mission given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the call towards La ilaha illallah. Then you had key individuals accept Islam. That was a huge boost to the Muslims. We spoke about the Islam of the Prophet's uncle Hamza and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's second, if you will, in command, Umar ibn Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So you have all of this is happening. Then Umar became Muslim at the 6th year of the Hijrah. And then after that, they went into exile. The Prophet, Banu Hashim and Banu Abd Manaf, they were exiled into a valley and boycotted to the point where they were starving. And this was a punishment not just upon the Muslims, but anyone who supports the Muslims. And this lasted for 3 years. And we were at the 9th year. Things are getting a lot more difficult. Banu Hashim and Banu Abd Manaf, the Prophet and his family, are finally allowed back in Mecca, and people are selling them stuff again. They can now trade, they can eat, they can live. So, seems like things are getting better, right? It is around this time that there was a huge event that happened in the Prophet's life. And that year, the 9th year, is known as the year of sorrow. Why is it called the year of sorrow? We'll get to that, inshallah ta'ala. I know you know. MashaAllah, tabarakal rahman. Barakallahu feek. But before that, before we get to that, one more incident I want to share with you. Quraysh is now very agitated, and they just want Islam to go. They've had it with Muhammad and his mission. They had it with these Muslims. They keep increasing. It's caused them anxiety and problems. More people entering into Islam. They tried every single trick in the book. What can they do? They finally went to Abu Talib. They went to Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, and his main protector, and the one who raised him. Abu Talib, they said, Ya Aba Talib, innaka kabirana wa sayyidana. O Abu Talib, you are the eldest among us. You are the leader and the sayyid. Wa inna Muhammadan qad ata bima lam ya'ti bihi ahadun min qabl. And indeed, Muhammad came with something no one has ever come with before. So, we have had it with him. We are done with Muhammad and his mission. Fa imma an tukufuhu anna wa imma an nunazilahu hatta yahlik ahad al-fariqayn. Either you restrain him and you stop him, or we will confront him until one of us perishes. Another riwayah, or another narration, they said to Abu Talib, listen, what's one son? What's one son? Because Abu Talib saw his nephew, the Prophet, as his own son. We'll give you one of our boys for you to have. Give us Muhammad. Give us Muhammad. Allow us to get rid of him, i.e. kill him. And if you want someone, we'll give you one of our boys. Look at their ridiculous offer. Abu Talib, of course, he comes to his nephew, the Prophet, says, Muhammad, it's getting too much now. Muhammad, what do you want? Think about it. They were in exile for how many years? 3 years, starving, torture, problems, you know, conflict. Now Abu Talib is speaking to his nephew, the Prophet, Abu Muhammad. What is it that you want? The Prophet said, Ya Am, O my uncle. Kalima wahida. I just want one statement. All I want from my fellow tribesmen, all I want from Quraysh, all I want is one word, one statement. Law qultumuha, if you say it, O my tribesmen, O Quraysh, if you say this one word. Malaktumul Arab wa danat lakum biha al-ajab. You'll be the king of the Arabs. You'll have the whole world. Allah will open doors for you. You will reach places you've never done before. Just say this one word. Then Quraysh is like, one word? We'll accept 10. We'll accept 10 words. What, one word? All of this. I said, what's the word? And he said, it's La ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. That there is none, and to leave off the idols. None has the right to be worshipped, to be devoted to, except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almighty alone. And they got so upset at that. Because they were idol worshippers and they loved their idols. They got so upset. The beginning of Surah Sad, Sad, wal Qur'an di dhikr. This surah is about this incident. Until they say, أَجَعَلَ الْآلِهَةَ إِلَهًا وَاحِدًا. Have you made the many gods into one? The many gods you worship, you want us to worship one? إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عُجَابٌ. Indeed, that is a bewildering thing. They said, no, that's the one thing we cannot accept. You want to change? So, this one word, La ilaha illallah, was the cause of that conflict. But La ilaha illallah will also be the cause of great victory and the cause of salvation in the next world. In other words, do your worst, Quraysh, we're not going anywhere. Then what happened? The Quraysh leader angrily rejected and left. And when they left, not too long after, Abu Talib started to get sick. Abu Talib, the Prophet's uncle, remember he's not a Muslim. He loves the Prophet. He protects the Prophet as his nephew, not as his Prophet. As his nephew. And of course, there is familial ties. Abu Talib gets sick, and the Prophet loved his uncle. The Prophet desperately tried to bring him to Islam. And the Prophet ﷺ would say to him, sit next to him. He's lying on his bed. Ya am, oh my uncle, oh my uncle, oh my uncle. Qul la ilaha illallah. Say, none has the right to be worshipped except Allah. Kalima, a statement. If you say, I will intercede for you on your behalf. Just say this one statement, and I will make dua and intercede on your behalf. As he was saying this, Abu Talib, the other men from Quraysh, the Abu Jahls and the Abu Lahabs, they came to visit. And they kept on saying, Abu Talib, don't you dare leave the way of your forefathers. Don't you dare dishonor yourself and disgrace yourself by following your nephew Muhammad. And then he was caught between loyalty to his tribe, loyalty to Quraysh, loyalty to those that he considered friends, and the truth of La ilaha illallah. What was Abu Talib's last words? Abu Talib's last words were, أَنَا عَلَى مِلَّةِ عَبْدِ الْمُطَلِبِ. I am on the way of my father, عَبْدِ الْمُطَلِبِ. In other words, I'm going to die upon idol worship. I'm going to die upon idol worship. So, the Prophet was so deeply saddened by this. Not only is his father figure, his uncle, his protector gone, he died upon disbelief. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَاللَّهِ لَأَسْتَغْفِرَنَّ لَكَ مَا لَمْ أُنْهَى عَنْ ذَلِكَ. By Allah, I will ask Allah to forgive you anyway. I will ask Allah to forgive you anyway unless I am forbidden to do so. Later on, it was revealed that if a person dies upon disbelief, then you are not allowed to seek forgiveness for them. And the Prophet was so deeply saddened, I couldn't even guide my own uncle. I couldn't even guide my beloved uncle. And then Allah reveals, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. O Muhammad, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. O Muhammad, you do not guide who you love. That's not how it works. Just because you loved your uncle does not mean he's going to be guided. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. But it is Allah that guides whomever He wills. My brothers and my sisters, understand this. A lot of times, someone will come to me or to the shuyukh, my brother is not practicing, my sister is this, and I've tried with my son, I've tried with my daughter, it's not working, I'm the only one in my family that prays, what do I do? Make dua. And remember, you can put the effort in. You can put the effort in. And you should put the effort in. The Prophet wasn't at home. He's sitting next to his uncle. Please say La ilaha illallah. The same thing for us. Please pray. Please come to the masjid with me. But remember the Prophet's character. Remember the Prophet's beautiful character. That's how you get people onto Islam. But not always. And just because you love someone does not mean they're going to be guided. Because the guidance comes from Allah. إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهَدِي مَنْ يَشَاءَ. If you have a family member, if you have someone you're responsible for, if you have a son or a daughter, if you have an uncle or an auntie, someone you wish were guided, but they're not, you put the effort in and understand. If it doesn't work, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهَدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتَ. You're not going to guide just because you love them. That's not how it works. The Prophet's uncle dies upon this belief because that's what his uncle chose. Second lesson from this, my brothers and my sisters. Watch out for bad friends. It is very likely that if the chiefs of Quraysh, who kept on goading Abu Talib, don't you dare disgrace yourself and dishonor yourself, if they were not in the room with him, that he may have listened to his nephew, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and said, La ilaha illallah. Your friends have an impact on you and they can impact your akhirah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, المرء على دين خليله فلينظر أحدكم من يخاليل. A person is upon the way of his religion, so be very careful who you befriend. You are on the religion of your friend, on the way of your friend, on the pathway of your friend. So be careful who you surround yourself with. How did the death of Abu Talib impact our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? It's not just losing an uncle, by the way. Many of us may have lost uncles that we loved or people that we were close to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost a critical supporter and protector. Abu Talib was one of the main reasons why Quraysh, although they would harm the Prophet sometimes, it was the main reason why they kept it at gear 2 and weren't going on gear 5 fully like they were going on Bilal or the others, because of respect of Abu Talib. Now that protection is gone. And it was narrated, اشتدت أذى قريش بعد وفاة أبي طالب. The punishment and the persecution increased after the death of Abu Talib. And this teaches you something. Think about this, my brothers and my sisters. Abu Talib was a disbeliever. He did not believe in the message of the Prophet. Abu Jahl is a disbeliever who did not believe in the message of the Prophet. Are Abu Jahl and Abu Talib the same? Do we even view them the same? Why not? They're both disbelievers, they're both idol worshippers, yes. But one of them had justice, kindness, and care. And it is important that when we see people that are not upon Islam, you will have your Abu Talibs and you will have your Abu Jahls. And it is important that we are able to see what one is and what the other is. Oh, the Prophet ended up calling them both to Islam, they both rejected, but some disbelievers are a lot more vicious towards the believers than others. And you'll see a few examples of that today, inshallah ta'ala. So Abu Talib has passed away. This is the 9th year, the year of sorrow. Earlier I said to you, why is it called the year of sorrow? It's because the year the Prophet lost his beloved uncle Abu Talib. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I were to ask you, for those of you that were, who was here since day one? Who was here since day one? A few of you were, right? Alhamdulillah. A lot of you joined later. If I were to ask you, out of the people that were, who among the Prophet's family or those that are close to him was with him from day one? Who comes to mind? Day one, literally. Adam? Khadija, barakallahu fik. Khadija bint Khuwaylid. She was the first day the Prophet met Angel Jibreel. The first ayats were revealed. He rushed home. Who was there? Khadija bint Khuwaylid. From that day until her last day on this earth, she was the Prophet's protector, wife. She was a source of love, comfort, care, the mother of most of his children. She died in this year as well. The Prophet ﷺ did not only lose his external support outside of the house, but that inner support inside his home as well. Soon after Abu Talib's death, the Prophet ﷺ faced the death of his beloved wife and our mother, Khadija bint Khuwaylid. The Prophet used to say about Khadija, آمنت بي حين كفر الناس. She believed in me when people disbelieved. And she accepted my word as truth when others saw it as lies. And she supported me with her wealth when others withheld from me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved her very much. And she was not just a wife, but truly a companion and a pillar for the Muslim community in Mecca. Khadija's virtue is known. And when we're talking about the greatest companions, she should definitely be listed among them. The Prophet said in a hadith, أفضل النساء أهل الجنة خديجة بنت خويلد. The greatest woman in Jannah is Khadija bint Khuwaylid. And then he mentioned Fatima bint Muhammad, his daughter, Fatima. We met Fatima already. Who can tell me in what context did we meet her in? What did Fatima do? And what was happening when she came in? Do you remember? When Abu Jahl put that dirt on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was there defending him and insulting the enemies and protecting her father? It was Fatima. Fatima bint Muhammad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these are the following women that are the greatest women in Jannah. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Rasulillah, Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, and Maryam bint Imran, the mother of Prophet Isa alaihi salam. Some of the ulama, they asked the question, how does Aisha fit into this? These four women, greatest women to have ever walked this earth. Khadija and Fatima, Asiya and Maryam. Where does Aisha radhiyallahu anha fit? Prophet said in a hadith that the virtue of Aisha over all women is like the virtue of Thareed over all food. And Thareed was the best food that the Arabs would eat. In other words, Aisha is even better than the ones mentioned. That's one view. And others say she's up there among them. She's up there among them, and Allahu A'lam. The main thing is that Aisha is considered among the greatest women as well. She's just not mentioned in that particular narration. But the Prophet did say that she is, compared to other women, like the best food compared to other types of food. Tayyib. Khadija was the first to believe in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was also the mother of most of his children, except for Ibrahim, whose mother was... Who was the mother of Prophet of Ibrahim, the Prophet's son Ibrahim? Maria al-Qibtiyya. Yeah, next time, inshallah. Okay? Tayyib. So now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is going on? He lost his uncle and he lost his wife. The Sahaba, they narrate that when this happened, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to come out a lot less. He used to spend a lot of his time at home. And it really affected him. It really affected him. The loss of Khadija and the loss of Abu Talib, his uncle, his father figure, and his beloved Khadija radiallahu anha. And now that he lost his key supporters and Quraysh were more emboldened, the Prophet started to think, perhaps we need to look elsewhere. Perhaps we need to look elsewhere. Maybe Mecca is not where we start. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided that he would go to a city called Taif. Taif, which is about 80 kilometers away from Mecca on foot. He went on foot, yani. And with him is someone very special. This person is the one companion of the Prophet mentioned in the Quran. Yeah? Zayd ibn Haritha. Very good. Zayd ibn Haritha. And who is Zayd ibn Haritha? Yes, you want to tell me who Zayd is? He was captured by some people and brought into Mecca, and in the end he ended up with who? With Khadija, and then later with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So yes, Talha, what were you gonna say? the adopted son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Although when we say adoption, we mean something very different. The Prophet fostered him, but he was not considered a son of the Prophet. That's why he's not called Zayd ibn Muhammad. He's called Zayd ibn Haritha. He's called Zayd ibn Haritha. So the Prophet and Zayd go together on this trip to Taif to see if the people of Taif will accept Islam or his message in a better way than the people of Mecca. And they go and they travel. And when they arrived, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam requested to meet with their elders and the most important figures. And then he was instructed to sit with three men whose father was known. And he sat with them and he invited them to Islam. Before I continue this bit, what I'm about to describe to you is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam considered the most difficult day of his life. After the Battle of Uhud, we haven't gotten to Uhud yet. After the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's face was injured. In the Battle of Uhud, the Prophet's uncle Hamza died. The Battle of Uhud was 70 of the Prophet's companions died. So Aisha one day said to the Prophet, "O Messenger of Allah, was the day of Uhud the most difficult day of your life?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Aisha, no. There was a day even worse than that. A day even worse than the day his uncle was brutally murdered, his companions were brutally killed, he himself was injured. A day worse than that." And he said, "It was the day I went to Taif. It was the day I went to Taif." The Prophet ﷺ sits with them and he calls them to Islam. Very simple message. Leave off idol worship. Come to La ilaha illallah, the one deserving of our worship. They mocked him. They rejected him. They insulted him. One of them said, "Could Allah not find someone better than you to send? Could Allah not find someone else when he sends you to us?" Another one said, "If you're a prophet, then I'll do this and this," meaning again mocking him. And you know, rejection is one thing, but to mock the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in that manner. So then he had to walk away. May Allah humiliate them. He walks away. And that's not enough for them. They instruct the townspeople to chase the Prophet and pelt him with stones, forcing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to flee. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until they were both injured. Zayd is trying his best to protect the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want you to imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He just lost his uncle. He just lost his wife. He traveled so far to save these people from the fire, to save them from idol worship. And they not only mocked him, they not only ridiculed him, they tried to injure him and humiliate him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sat somewhere in pain and exhaustion. And he did what any one of us should do. When you feel low, when you feel down, you look up. When you think the world is against you, you look up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet raised his hand and he made dua. "Allahumma inni ashku إليك ضعف قوتي وقلة حيلتي وهواني على الناس يا أرحم الراحمين أنت رب المستضعفين." "Oh Allah, I complain to you my weakness and my limited resources and the humiliation I face. You are the most merciful. You are the Lord of the oppressed. You are my Lord. Ya Allah, who do you leave me with?" "Who do you leave me with?" wallahi, if this doesn't make you love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alone in the middle of nowhere. And he says something very important, my brothers. He says, إِن لَمْ يَكُمْ بِكَ عَلَيَّ غَضَبٌ فَلَا أُبَالِي. Oh Allah, as long as you're not angry with me, I don't care. And that's very important, because it doesn't matter if the people hate you, as long as who loves you? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah wanted to teach our Prophet something very important. And we have to understand, right? Life has ups and downs. Life has ups and downs. At this very moment, for the Prophet, is it an up or a down? What do you guys think? But that's not always the case. The Prophet's message is true. And as he's sitting there, making dua, having fled and being chased, Angel Jibreel comes down. The Prophet so far only met Angel Jibreel. This is the first time he sees another angel. Malakul Jibal, the angel of the mountains. Angel Jibreel says, Allah sent this angel to you for you to command it. For you to command it. And the angel of the mountain said, Oh Muhammad, if you tell me to take these mountains and crash them into Ta'if and make Ta'if disappear, I will do so. The whole town. How dare they do this to you? If you command me to make all of Ta'if disappear, I will do so. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. I have hope that these same people that are rejecting me, their children will say, La ilaha illallah. What's fascinating is, who not just too long ago rejected to say La ilaha illallah and died as a disbeliever? Abu Talib. His children, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, believers or not believers? Believers. Who was instructing Abu Talib to not become Muslim? Who was there? Abu? And Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl's son, Ikrama, becomes a Muslim. Who were some of the most staunch enemies of the Prophet? Right? Al-As ibn Wa'il. His son, Amr al-As, becomes a Muslim. And on it goes. Walid ibn Mughira hated the Prophet. Khalid ibn Walid loves the Prophet. The Prophet, when he said, I hope that their children will become Muslim, it actually happened and he saw it. Most of his enemies, their children became Sahaba. And now look even further. That same place that treated the Prophet that way, if you go to the city of Daif today in Saudi, Adan everywhere, the same place they tried to humiliate our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and throw rocks at him, you drive in it, you go to it, all you hear is what? Shadu an la ilaha illallah, shadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Every other person is called Muhammad. Allah promised the Prophet that Allah will make high your mention. These trials that the Prophet is going through, it was just a period of his life. Not only that, that's the future, hindsight is 2020, but look at what's happening right there and then. When the Prophet ﷺ forgave and said, I have hope that their children will become Muslim, and the angels left, there were two men, Utbah and Shaybah, who had a vineyard near where the Prophet was sitting at that time. And they realized who the Prophet was and that he is from Quraysh. They were Quraysh as well. And they felt bad for the Prophet. They're not believers, they felt bad for the Prophet. And when they felt bad for the Prophet, they had a Christian servant, and they said to him, take these grapes to him. Who is taking the grapes? A young boy called Adas. He grabs these grapes and he goes to the Prophet and he gives them. I want you to understand the Prophet's emotional state right now. He has just been preaching, everything was rejected. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet, he takes these grapes and he says, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. Adda says, Inna hadha kalam ma yaquluhu ahlu hadhihi al-bilad. What you just said, the people here don't say it. Bismillah, knowing people don't say it, why are you saying this? The Prophet looked at this young boy. What religion was he? He was Christian. He wasn't an idol worshipper. He says to him, Min ayyi biladi ant? Wa ma dinuk? The Prophet said, where are you from and what's your religion? He says, I am a Nasrani. I'm a Christian. And I am from Nainawa. Nainawa is in Iraq. It's also where Prophet Yunus was from. The Prophet immediately realizes and says, Min qaryati rajuli salih Yunus ibn Matta. You're from the same place as Prophet Yunus. Now at that time, the people there did not know who Prophet Yunus was. Adas knows because he's from there. He's surprised. He says, How do you know who Yunus is? And the Prophet said, Dhaka akhi, Yunus is my brother. Because all the prophets are brothers. Kana nabiyan, he was a prophet. Wa ana nabiyun, and I am also a prophet. Adas was so moved by this. He started to kiss the hands and feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he came back to the men that sent him with the grapes, they said, "Don't tell us you're gonna also change your religion for him." And Adas says, "Laysa ala wajhi al-ardi khayrun min hadha rajul." There is literally no one on this earth better than that man. What's the lesson there? Adas, young Adas becoming Muslim. Allah wanted that and made the Prophet make all that trip. It wasn't for the people of Taif, it was for this young man. And subhanallah, if Allah wants guidance for someone, they will be guided. And subhanallah, it's also to teach the Prophet Muhammad, for just as many as are there are those that want to pelt rocks at you, there are those that will kiss your hands and feet. And for just as many that hate you, there are those that love you. May Allah make us among those that love the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So then, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he has to return to Mecca. He has to return to Mecca. Now, Mecca is a very hostile environment now. He doesn't have the protection of his uncle. And he doesn't know if he should go or not. He doesn't know what will happen to him. And he figures out, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he could benefit from protection. Now, I mentioned this before, I believe, in my previous classes, that sometimes someone could give someone else protection, and that would mean that as long as they're in that city, that person can't be touched. So, the Prophet ﷺ then, he actually went into hiding for a bit, waiting to see if there's anyone that is willing to provide him with promised protection so that Quraysh's heads do not come after him. And finally, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sent word to a man called Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Al-Mut'im ibn Adi. Al-Mut'im ibn Adi heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's request for diwar. It's called diwar, protection. And Al-Mut'im agreed. He ordered his sons to go to where the Prophet was and escorted him into Mecca, then went to the Kaaba, called all Quraysh, and declared that from now on, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad is under my protection and my family's protection. And Al-Mut'im's protection was a very big gesture during this very difficult time. The Prophet actually never forgot this. One of the first things that happens, this is very important, listen. Abu Jahl says, are you a mutabi'? A mutabi'un ant? Am tujiruhu? Mut'im, are you following Muhammad or just providing protection? She says, بَلْ أُجِيرُهُ. Rather, I am just giving him protection. And that was a sigh of relief. Because Abu Jahl, the worst thing he would want is what? That more people become Muslim. And then he says, أَجَرْنَا مَنْ أَجَرْت. If you give him protection, we leave him alone. If you give him protection, we leave him alone. And the Prophet ﷺ came back to Mecca. The Prophet, at the Battle of Badr, and inshallah ta'ala, we'll get to the Battle of Badr in the next season, inshallah. I guess, spoiler, the Muslims win. I guess you already knew that. And we'll tell the story properly, inshallah, when we get there. There were many captives from Quraysh. And the Prophet would ransom the captives. So the family paid some money to the Muslims, and then the Prophet would release them one by one. The Prophet said to his companions, if Mut'im was alive today, because Mut'im died, he didn't die as a Muslim either. Mut'im just, who just gave him protection to be in Mecca. He said, if Mut'im was alive, and he would have requested from me, لو كان المعطي حيا ثم كلمني في هؤلاء, I would have freed them. The Prophet said, if Mut'im said to me, free all the captives of Badr, I would have freed them for him. What does that tell you? The Prophet really remembered warmly the good treatment Mut'im ibn Adi gave to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mut'im ibn Adi never became a Muslim. What did I say to you earlier? Many of the people that rejected the truth, what happened to the children? They end up becoming Muslim. There's a great companion called Jubair ibn Mut'im. Jubair becomes a Sahabi and a Muslim as well. Now, my brothers and my sisters, there is another incident that happened that is also worth mentioning. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming back from Taif, he was praying. One night he was praying. And as he is praying, you had the jinn for the first time hear Quran. وَإِذْ صَرَفْنَا إِلَيْكَ نَفَرًا مِّنَ الْجِنِّ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقُرْآنِ فَلَمَّا حَضَرُوهُ قَالُوا أَنْصِتُوا. سبحان الله. And then they said, قَالُوا يَا قَوْمَنَا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا كِتَابًا أُنْزِلَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مُوسَى مُصَدِّقًا. Something very fascinating happened. The jinn heard the Prophet praying. They start calling each other. Listen to this. A new book has been revealed. And then they listen and they believe and they accept Islam. The jinn accept Islam. What's the lesson? Oh Muhammad, if Quraysh reject you, their children will accept you. Oh Muhammad, if the people of Ta'if pelt you, you'll have someone like Adas there. Oh Muhammad, if mankind rejects you, the jinn will accept you. In other words, the Prophet is learning that his message will be accepted from places he does not expect it from. And his message will go far and wide. And subhanAllah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through this difficult time, losing his uncle, losing his wife, experiencing the humiliating things that he experienced in Taif, coming back, not even knowing sure, can he enter Mecca, can he not enter Mecca, trying to find jawar and protection. Finally, he's home. My brothers and sisters, it is after this that the story of Isra and Mi'raj happened. The night journey. And I guarantee each one of us here has heard about a night journey before. Am I wrong? But in this context, it makes so much more sense. Ya Muhammad. Oh Muhammad. If the people on earth reject you, you are accepted where? In the heavens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this time where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in a very difficult time, in the year of sorrow, at the back of it is when the Prophet is taken Angel Jibreel comes, wakes him up. They go on the Buraq. They travel to Jerusalem. Allah brings all the prophets. Oh Muhammad, if you think you're the only one that experienced rejection, look at all these prophets. The prophets stand by behind him. They pray behind him. Muhammad, the greatest of men, are praying behind you. And then he goes up. He sees all the prophets. He meets Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa, Prophet Yahya. He meets his great, 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 great grandfather, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam. He goes all the way and meets his greatest love and our greatest love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah gives him the 5 daily prayers as an obligatory act. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so shown Jannah. He spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Isra and Mi'raj is such a key thing for the Prophet to be rejuvenated. To be rejuvenated. To feel that the rejection of those that reject should not hold you back whatsoever. And from then, inshallah ta'ala, you'll see everything going uphill. Not always. Sometimes it will go downhill. For every Badr, there is a Uhud, right? And many challenges will happen. But inshallah ta'ala, we'll continue the story in the following weeks. I'm going to conclude my lesson here, inshallah ta'ala, and take any questions that you guys have. I guess you guys can guess then. Who can guess what is the first lesson back? The story of what? No. The story of? Isra and Mi'raj. The story of Isra and Mi'raj. First question here, what books are you using for Seerah? I recommended several books. You can go back to the first lecture, inshallah ta'ala. What I use is the classical books of Seerah, like Ibn Hisham and others. But I recommend all of you guys to read either Rahiq al-Makhtum or When the Moon Split. Did the Arab believe in jinn? Yes, they did, and they know about it. Sheikh, you mentioned that only Allah guides his servants. If a woman is married to a man who doesn't pray, should she leave him or continue making dua for him? My sister, this type of question is better asked face-to-face so that we can look at your situation. As general rule is that the salah is such a key pillar in Islam, it should be non-negotiable. As for what decision you should make in your particular situation, it will all depend on your husband's willingness to stop praying. And yes, you should keep making dua for him and you should be reminding him to pray. And it all depends on his personal situation. Is he refusing to pray whatsoever? Does he even believe in the prayer? Is he praying sometimes, leaving it sometimes? And that is something that is assessed by an imam that you visit and you explain the situation to, rather than just a general question that I answer here. And it's important, my brothers, my sisters, that you can distinguish between the kind of questions that require a lot of explanation and detail and nuance, where you sit with the sheikh and you explain your circumstances versus a general question that I can give you an answer to. But in any case, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide your husband. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your dua for him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in your marriage. Did the Arabs believe in or knew about the jinn? They didn't know about the jinn, and that was something that they were aware of. How can we attain the Prophet's intercession? You gain the Prophet's intercession by doing the things the Prophet ﷺ told us to do. First of all, be as good as a Muslim as you can be, because his intercession is for the believers of this ummah. And there are certain things where the Prophet ﷺ would say, whoever does this is deserving of my intercession. One of them is the dua that you read after the adhan. Never miss the dua after the adhan. Of course, tawheed is key, right? Tawheed is key. Saying la ilaha illallah with certainty and believing in it, inshallah. I'm going to stop here, my brothers and sisters. Hada wa akhru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The winter conference is next week on Tuesday. Everyone, please make sure you attend. The shuyukh are visiting us. And I'll see you all, inshallah ta'ala, next week. Follow our social media for more information. Hayakumullah. Everyone, there is no session next week. There's no session next week. There is a gathering to discuss what we've covered so far, but the Seerah class itself. بارك الله فيكم.